Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
We trying to behave ourselves on the story? Well, y'all know what we thinking right now.
I'm ready for the night. I got a little extra energy. I don't know what might come out of my mouth tonight.
Ask your kids. Tell them to go sit their bad asses down so we're grown folks in here talking.
TGIF.
Happy Friday. It's your girl, Claudia Jordan, and I'm back with TGIF, a brand new episode of TGIF with two of the most fabulous men in the entertainment industry. And we're here to spill the tea and break down some of the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So sit back, relax, get you something to drink, and get ready for this hot tea we're about to spill. Please welcome brand strategist Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's going on, Claudia? Happy Friday.
Same to you. You're looking very spring and summerish.
Like a little flower.
A little flower, a little dandelion. Okay, and please welcome a multimedia personality fresh off a nap, Funky Dineva. What's up, Q?
What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Q. You had a rough night last night?
No.
Unlocking your better self.
Went out, alarm clocks ain't going off. Murphy's Law, everything that can go wrong did. But I'm here. Just praise the Lord. I don't look like what I've been through.
We was texting you like, where you at? You alive? with this group, you just never know. Someone could be jail, done right. Ran off, got elopes, dead. You never know. But we're glad to have you here. So we're glad to have you. Man, all right. Okay, anybody drinking tonight?
I will be drinking Publix lemonade after the break.
I'm having tea.
See, okay. Well, I have it looks like a wedding shirt dress from the waist up, but the waist down, I got on some biker shorts because I'm gonna work out right after this. So no liquor for me tonight. So we're gonna have a clean show tonight. Is that what's happening?
Man, on a Friday?
You know this show ain't never clean, whether we drinking water or liquor. It's still gonna be a good time.
All right. Speaking of good times, during an episode of Watch What Happens Live, Kathy Hilton mistakenly identified Lizzo as Precious during a segment called Will Kathy Know Them? Annie showed Kathy a photo of Lizzo and asked her if she could name the celebrity. Kathy said, I feel like I do. Precious? Now, as we know, Precious is a character portrayed by Gab Sidibe in the 2009 film Precious. Now, Kathy responded to the backlash in an Instagram comment. She wrote, the screen was so far away and my vision is terrible. If you recall, I couldn't even make out who Justin Timberlake or Melissa Etheridge was. What do you think about this? I saw there was some damage control, which they try to say it was a model, plus size model named Precious. I don't know if I believe that. Al, what do you think about this?
Oh, let me tell you what. You know, Kathy and Richard Hilton, I've had the pleasure of hanging out with these two and on more than one occasion. And of course, I used to hang out, and Claudia, you did too, with Paris Hilton. So let me tell you, Kathy, she's just a very rich, sometimes not in touch, you know, and she wrote woman and she rotates in these insulated circles. She's the type of woman that, you know, she just says awkward things. If you watch the show, she says awkward things. But the thing that I don't like, if you know that family, one thing that family is not is racist, okay? We know that Kathy and Richard's foundation gives millions of dollars to that California Black Freedom Fund, which is a 5-year, $100 million fund to eradicate systemic and institutional racism. So I honestly feel like it was just Kathy being Kathy.
Now, I don't think that Kathy is racist at all, but Paris did get caught on tape throwing that N-word around. I'm just going to say that. She ain't off the hook completely with me. Q, what you think about this? You think she was just like bad vision? She's older, old lady?
Well, before I get there, I want to know, Al, if you know all these damn people, why you work here? Like, why do you even work here? If you roll with Kathy and her husband and all these different people, listen, Kathy is an old, rich, white woman. Kathy ain't had no idea who Lizzo was. I gagged. Okay. It was funny to me.
Me too.
Had it been somebody a little younger who was purposely trying to insult Lizzo, then I'd be outraged. But that was Kathy's honest thoughts on who that was. And that's what made it even more funny. And especially considering the fact that Precious ain't even a real person. It's a movie character. But that poor white woman, she didn't know. It was a genuine mistake.
I mean, there's a lot of people that are big in their community that I clearly have no idea who they are too. So I could see how that could happen. Like, why would she know? Like, you know, why would she know?
I mean, and all big white women look like Rosie O'Donnell. So,
you know what? Another fun fact about Kathy, though, is, you know, she was classmates with Michael Jackson, and they actually were very, very close friends and hung out on the regular.
Michael's that old?
Michael Jackson, yep.
That means that we're that old, actually.
You know what was surprising? 2 days ago was Whitney Houston's birthday, and I did not know that she would have been 59.
Yeah, almost 60. Mm-hmm.
Time flies. All right, y'all. So, Kathy, as for now, you are off the hook, man. We don't think it. We're going to deem that not racist. I don't think that works. I think it's just being old and away from, just above it all. Okay, Dr. Heavenly shows some love to Candy Burris after a clip went viral of Marlo Hampton discrediting Candy's legacy, saying she's only known in Atlanta. Take a look.
Candy is a real one. I don't care what nobody say. I love her for all she's done for me. She's given me financial advice to save me money on the kids. Todd is a genius.
All right, y'all, what are your thoughts on what Dr. Heavenly said? And do you think Marlo was out of line and wrong for making those comments? Q, I know you're good friends with Dr. Heavenly. What do you think about this?
You know, a lot of people have made videos coming to Candy's defense. DJ A1 did a video coming to Candy's defense. I even made a video coming to Candy's defense as a result of some things that Marlo did. A lot of people don't know, at the point in which Marlo had made that F-word comment, Bravo wasn't messing with Marlo at all. She was getting no airtime. Marlo came to Candy and Todd trying to get back on television, and Candy and Todd were able to get her a show on WeTV called Fashion Mob. And the reason why I know this is because I was a cast member of that show. And ultimately, 2 weeks before we were to film the show got scrapped because Marlo and another cast member were being divas when it came to signing their contracts. So, you know, I just find it odd that Marlo's going so hard at Candy, considering the fact that Candy bent over backwards in an effort to try to help her. I get that Marlo worked very hard to get this peach, and some people were saying, you know, she's just making TV and doing whatever she needs to do to keep it. But I also think that there needs to be a level of dignity and integrity when it comes to your friend groups and people who have helped you in the past. You can make TV and still maintain some semblance of decency when dealing with people who have helped you in your past.
Agreed. Al, what do you think about this?
I mean, Q summed that one up great. I mean, Candy has helped a lot of women, a lot of people in general through referrals. She's great at giving people referrals, just her business model in general, people helping people out with their business and also on advice. So, I mean, I couldn't agree more with what Q said.
When I first got to Atlanta and did that show, I was just brought on as a friend of the show, and it just grew to something else, right? And I met Marlo, we were in Z Gallery, and I met her, and at the time, her and Nene weren't cool. So of course she was just like, yes, girl, you know, and I was just like, it's just a show to me, it's work. And she was cool, right? And I know she wanted to be in that position to have a peach all these years, and she finally got it. I think it's sad that to finally, after all these years of being kind of overlooked and being on the sidelines, you finally do get the opportunity of a lifetime to you, right? You've been wanting that to kind of get there and kind of fumble the opportunity. Marlo, you had an interesting storyline raising those two boys. You have this, you're very fashionable. You're known for that. You could have really parlayed this into something good. And I don't like the what I'm not watching the show. I haven't watched the show in a long time, but what I'm hearing and seeing from clips, and correct me if I'm wrong, it just seeming that she's thinking the old way of doing business, right? Just going for everyone's neck and just being as nasty as you can is the way to solidify your future. but I think she's going too far. I get being entertaining, but at some point, I think people are getting sick of it. Like, the things I'm hearing, I'm just like, I'm not liking. And Marlo, I think you're better than this. Or maybe you're not. But I'm hoping you are, because all those years, I can't imagine if I wait all these years to finally get my talk show, then get it and just piss everybody off all the time. What are you doing? You don't deserve to have it if you're going to blow it. And coming for Candy, Candy Burris is the one that has receipts of how many people she's helped. She didn't know me that well when she met me. She offered to work with me. I hosted a panel. She was talking about doing a show with me. And I'm not a me. Like, it's not just me. I'm not unique. She does that for, she's a girl's girl. And to say this woman is not, she's just known in Atlanta when you're only known in Atlanta. Marlo, Candy's an international star. She is. Like it or not, she is. And she helps people. So I just think that I just think it's a bad way you're going. I don't know who's advising you, but it's not the right way, in my opinion. All right. Well, Candy is now like the genius she is when it comes to business. She's turning Marlo's slight shade into a bag of money after launching a Bleep on Worldwide product line, which will include teas, mugs, and more. Are y'all surprised that Candy's turning this incident into a moneymaker, Al?
Oh, absolutely not. Listen, all of Candy's enterprises were from instances or things that happened in her life. Let's go down the list. She has a record label. She has her own record label. You remember she was a Broadway producer of Thoughts of a Colored Man because of that situation that she had read about. She's a restaurant owner. She owns Blaze. That you remember she charged that attorney for ICE, and she owns Old Lady Gag. Her bedroom candy is a retailer sex toys. She's a Grammy songwriter. She's a reality star. She's a podcast producer, Candy Coated Nights, burlesque show because of, you know, her keeping it beefy in the bedroom. Welcome to the dungeon. I didn't know she had she's got a cosmetic line, Candy Coated Cosmetics, and now she has a clothing line. This is just, Candy's always doing her thing. She's always taking something that's going on in her life, a passion of hers, or something that she likes, and turning it into a profitable business.
That part, Q, what do you think? You work with Candy, y'all did a play, legs, hips, and body.
Yeah, legs, hips, and body. So, you know, one thing I remember when working with Candy said to me about Real Housewives of Atlanta, she said that they would have to take me off this show kicking and screaming because this show is a free commercial for all my businesses. And Candy has also figured out a way, every time somebody says something negative about her, it's almost like a petty jab. Oh yeah, I'ma take this and I'ma turn it into a moneymaker. Case in point, when they said she had that sex dungeon in her house, what did she do? She went and started off the dungeon tour. And there's no difference between that and what she's doing with these t-shirts. Hey, you said this about me, it's trending right now. Let me get a money grab real quick. So hats off to Candy for being smart and enterprising when it comes to truly using the platform the way it should be used.
Once again, I just can't reiterate the fumbling of the bag. You could, instead of fighting with this woman, you could have actually cozied up to her and kind of got some game from her, because she's clearly the most successful, the richest one on the show. And she's going to be, whether she's on Housewives or not. And let me tell you, I'm not going to say how much Housewives offers the Housewives the first season, if you don't have a fantastic lawyer, but they offer a pretty low amount, and it's been standard for a long time. And what you do with that time and how you flip that, you could really go from making five figures to seven if you play your cards right. So, like, why would you not? And Candy has it all figured out, I believe. All right, moving on. Britney Spears' ex-husband, Kevin Federline, shared and then deleted old videos on social media of Spears allegedly appearing to scold their two sons. Take a look.
I do care, but I'm shocked as with you. Well, and I don't know what to do. And I'm scared of you because you're weird, because you're going through puberty. I don't know what to say.
Kevin added the caption, I cannot sit back and let my sons be accused in this way after what they've been through. As much as it hurts us, we decided as a family to post these videos the boys took when they were 11 and 12. This isn't even the worst of it. The lies have to stop. I hope our kids grow up to be better than this. Hashtag never fear truth. Now, a close source to Spears told Page Six that Kevin is weaponizing the children by releasing the videos. What are your thoughts on the story? Let's start with you, Al.
So I just want to be clear. The clip that we saw right there, that wasn't the clip that we're referencing this story, right? When they were 11 years old and they were going back and forth with their mother. That's not that clip. I just want to make sure that we understand that. But because the clip that they showed of her going back and forth with her 11-year-olds, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure why Kevin put that out. Because if he was trying to use that clip to make her seem like she was an unfit mother, it absolutely did not work. To me, in the clip that I watched as it relates to the article that we got about this story, she sound just like a regular mom that we all know. And she sound like a good mother. It was like parenting 101. What I was more concerned about in that clip was how those kids talk back to her. And they're sassy and they won't let her talk. Like they literally tell her what to do and talk to her any kind of way. And I'm gonna tell you, when I was growing up, you didn't talk back to your parents like that. You would get a hand in the mouth, or you would definitely wish you never, you know, talk back. So as far as I'm concerned, the videos that he is leaking does not fit the narrative that she's not a good mother.
Okay, agree. Q, what do you think?
I'll give you my thoughts when we come back from commercial.
Okay, we was going to try to fit it in before we went, but okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back after this. Welcome back to TGIF. Now, before we went to break, we're talking about Britney Spears and Kevin Federline, how he's releasing these audio clips of alleged abuse and verbal abuse by Britney. She's such a terrible mom. And, you know, he really put 10 on 20, then he had to delete them things because they really weren't that big of a deal. Q, what do you think about the audio? You've heard them, right?
I did hear the audio. And you know what? Britney was, to Al's point, being a great mom. Those children were being extremely disrespectful. She was trying to discipline them like parents do, telling them she was going to take their phones, so on and so forth. My question is, Kevin, you've been unscathed so far at this point with this whole stuff that's going on with Britney and her parents. I don't understand what his motivation is for jumping in the ring at the moment right now. You got the kids, you getting the monthly money from this woman. What is the point? And then on top of that, regardless of whatever it is, you're fully aware that those children's mom has mental issues. That being alone, that said, you should have compassion and you should be teaching those kids how to love their mother in spite of her illness, and not turning those kids against their mother. And I'm going to tell you something. Those kids are going to grow up, and when they get the full truth, they are going to end up hating you as a result of it for all the missed time that they did not have with their mother. Because trust and believe, and a lot of people don't think it, boys can have daddy issues and mommy issues too, the same way women can.
I love that he tried to kind of pile on Britney and try to get a, oh yeah, like me too. He kind of me too'd this. And it kind of blew up in his face because the video wasn't given, the audio wasn't given what he thought it was going to give. He thought people were going to get on his side. He tried to play this out in the court of public opinion and it didn't really work. When I heard the audio, I'm like, I was expecting some horrific verbal abuse and she was being mean or irrational. She sounded like she had two brats and she was checking them. She was sounding like she was just getting them together. Like they were some badass kids and she was just like, look at here. I'm not going to like deal with this. And then she checked him. If you think that's abuse, that you're part of the problem, Kevin. And you probably co-signed the behavior because you think it's funny because you look at her as just your cash cow and you want to keep your $20,000 a month rolling in. So maybe it's just in your best interest to kind of just keep a negative narrative about Britney out there. I thought it was super whack and weak. Kevin, go get a job. Go celebrity box somebody. Go get on. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. Go get on Big Brother or something. Because it's giving whack.
You know what was also interesting? I don't know if you guys realized this. You remember the clip that he leaked was from 5 years ago. 5 years ago, Britney was a part of the conservatorship. And watching her, you know, 5 years ago, everything she said made sense, right? The way she was parenting the kids, like you can't walk around with your shoes off in stores. Like everything she did as a parent and how she explained everything to them just all made sense. Now that she's out of the conservatorship, now we're seeing these crazy postings. She's fighting with her family. Her kids aren't at her wedding. So I'm just saying that conservatorship might not have been all that bad in certain aspects.
I'm going to tell you something. Conservatorship aside, her mama and her daddy should be going around Kevin's house, bamming on his door, cussing his ass out for that. They should still have some love for their daughter and still want their daughter to have some semblance of a mother-child relationship with them. And the fact that Kevin was able to do that so freely without fear of backlash says that he is in cahoots with the mama and the daddy and stuff as well. This is just not cool for any parent under any circumstance to try to turn the children against the other parent. You teach those children how to love their mother in spite of. You teach those children about their mother's mental illness and why mommy can't be in the house with us, but you force those children to have a loving relationship with their mother, not the other way around.
Yeah, and again, it didn't hit like he thought, and I hope more people continue to call him out like we are on TGIF, because that was super whack, and there's no united front of parenting with these kids, obviously. I could see him being the kind of parent, my opinion, to, you know, good cop, bad cop, and trying to make Brittany be the bad cop at all times. Well, I think it's more than 20,000. I think it's like 60,000. It's some crazy amount. All right. Bishop Patrick Wooten is outraged by Beyonce's song, Church Girl, calling it a piece of trash and implying that she sold her soul to the devil. He said to sample the song of the real church lady, Twinkie Clark. I don't know whether she knew what she was going to do with the song or not. She knows she's not saved. I don't talk about anything that's not public anything. That's public. Is fair game. What are your thoughts on Beyonce, on the Bishop calling out Beyonce? And why is there so much controversy about this album? So many people seem to have a problem with it. Al, what you think?
I'm going to giggle this one off because I grew up in a very traditional Southern Baptist church like this. Shout out to Mayo Missionary Baptist Church and my pastor, Mac. This pastor's strong rhetoric around this is understandable for people that attend churches like that, and from a religious standpoint, because think about it, she did sample the song "Center Thy Will" by the Clark Sisters. The title of the song is "Church Girl," and the lyrics of the song is quite graphic and like, you know, burlesque, like very thottish. So, you know, I can see where he was trying to go with it. Hopefully the clip had a little bit more understanding to it, but I will give this to Beyonce now. The song definitely toes the line, and I love the messaging of the song, which was that Black women can definitely be sexual, they can be sensual, and they can be spiritual, as well as she said that they can be religious, they can be ratchet, and they could be righteous. So, big up to Beyonce on this song.
Is there anything in the lyrics of that song that you could like share that you know of off the top of your head that's like wow, that's a bit far?
She talks about like twerking, riding. It's got some very graphic, okay, sensual body movements, what the woman can do. You know, so it's ratchet. Like it's.
So basically all the things that people that go to church actually do. Got it. Just want to make sure. As they're being fruitful and multiplying. Got it. Q, what you
You know what? From the pastor's perspective, it was a missed opportunity. You can tell this is a non-progressive pastor, because there was a way he could have took that song and flipped it into a sermon that was actually relevant to the actual people who show up to church these days. Because if I was to step into anybody's church today, I would be one of the church girls, okay? I hunch, I have sex, I drink brown liquor, I go to the club, sometimes I sleep with people's husbands, but I don't do that no more. But what I found to be also unique about this song, I don't know if you guys saw the Clark Sisters Unsung, it was nothing more than fitting that she used a Clark Sisters sample, because the Clark Sisters were the first gospel group to bring gospel music to the secular market. And remember when they came out a long time ago, I can't think about the song off the top of my head. They've already got a song that they did in all the old school gay clubs. Can't think of the song right now, but it was genius on her part to use a Clark Sisters sample, because they were already known for making church music that got played in secular spaces. With everything that's going on in this economy right now, that pastor could have used that 2 hours on Sunday to preach about something. Give us a fake prosperity preaching, or pass around a collection plate for the building fund for the building that ain't gonna never get built or whatever, and leave Beyonce the hell alone.
And I wonder what Twinkie Clark thinks about this, because she got a writing credit on the song and she has publicly approved and thanked Beyonce for it. Like, she's on board, y'all. She's on
right. board. So if Twinkie ain't complaining, how are you? He's looking for a moment. Listen, everybody's looking for a moment in 2022. And he was looking for a moment.
Church is not exempt. It's everybody. While performing in Toronto, Lady Gaga was hit on the head with an object that was thrown from the crowd. Gaga was singing her hit song, Hold My Hand, when the incident happened, but she didn't let it stop her. And she continued performing like a true professional. And weeks ago, we talked about something similar that happened to Kid Cudi, who was hit by water bottles while performing during Rolling Loud. Are fans getting out of control? And what happened to having respect for these people that are performing? I know it happens to athletes a lot. Key, let's start with you. What do you think about this?
They're most definitely getting out of control. And I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. Live Nation and all these other big concert tour people, you fans are going to be mad when they start dropping a big mesh screen from the ceiling to the floor of the stage. I feel it coming. They're going to drop tool netting or some type of barrier that's see-through from the top of the ceiling to the bottom of the stage to prevent these artists from being hit. I forgot which concert it was I went to many years ago. I think it was a Destiny's Child concert, or it might even been a Beyonce concert, where I guess in her rider, you could not sell like soda and plastic bottles.
I see. Whatever.
Some artists are putting that in their rider that you cannot even sell soda and plastic bottles because they don't want you dummies throwing stuff up there. So all I'm saying is, don't get mad when your faves start performing behind a mesh screen or on a or on a monitor because y'all keep throwing Pepsi bottles at them.
Y'all about to get a hologram in a minute if y'all keep it up. And I wouldn't be mad at the
me neither.
I would not be mad. It's too damn, people are too damn crazy out there right now. Al, what do you think about this?
Well, you know, I agree with you guys as it relates to water bottles and unsafe things that people throw up on a stage. But in this case, that wasn't the instance. The backstory on this was really intrigued me because I was trying to figure out how did he get that big object in there? So in this case, we learned that the gentleman is from Mexico. And he is an avid fan of Lady Gaga. Like, he saved all this money to travel from Mexico to Toronto to this concert, right? We also learned that in Mexico, it's become a tradition for Mexican music fans to throw their favorite artist, this Dr. Simi Bear, which is what he threw up on stage, while they're performing to, you know, show to them that's their love. Like, you are the ultimate performer to me. So this was actually an act of homage to her.
Don't throw no shit at me
while I'm at work. We're out of Mexico.
And while I'm at work, I'm up here trying to sing. I'm trying to hit my note. I got my, and then I got a big teddy bear. There is a protocol for throwing stuff, because when Luciano Pavarotti, because you know I listen to the three tenors, baby, I'm cultured. When they perform at the end of the symphony or the opera or whatever type of music, people throw the roses and stuff at the end. Throw that crap up on the stage at the end. Don't throw that mess up there while I'm in the middle of trying to hit my note.
And also, you know, now that you're saying we got to like change lyrics and songs here because we're offending someone in another country, when you're in Mexico and that's the culture there, it may not necessarily be the culture here. So you should be aware of that. Like, that thing, we don't know what that is. And now in these times where things are elevated, mass shootings, America's a mess right now. You got to be aware, like,
right,
we're on edge right now. You don't know what's a teddy bear. And you may not know it's a teddy bear. You just seen something over there. I don't know.
He ain't seen nobody else ass throwing nothing. You know what I'm saying? What happened to when did Rome do as Romans do? You ain't seen nobody else throwing nothing on the stage, and you gonna decide to play Tom Brady and launch a Build-A-Bear on the stage. And then, okay, Al, I'm gonna follow you for a second. Throw it on the stage. Throw that crap to the left over there by the drummer, okay? Don't throw it at me.
At her head. See, you're
I'm not buying the act of homage. That's the act of rebellion. If you want to show me some appreciation, Throw that crap over there by them background dancers that's doing the cool stuff. Don't throw that at my head.
And he spent all that money to come up from Mexico. See, you're going to see Trump was talking about building that wall. You're going to make Biden do it now. Okay. Knock it off.
Uh-oh.
All right, y'all.
Don't throw no teddy bear. And matter of fact, don't throw no damn teddy bear, baby. Carry your ass down to the nearest bank. Get you $100 worth of ones and put it on a nasty rubber band around it and launch that up there. Now you can hit me in the head with that. Keep your little $2.99 family dollar teddy bear.
All right, y'all. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We have plenty more show coming up after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. Quick correction, that last story, it wasn't in America, that Lady Gaga show. It was in Canada, in Toronto. So I just want to make sure we clarified that up right away. All right, y'all, moving on. A Spirit Airlines employee at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport got into a physical altercation after a passenger hit him and called him the N-word. Now, before we show the clip, Fox Soul does not condone this violence. Watch this.
You haven't lost your mind. Don't touch me ever in your life. Touch me first, and then you got in my face. Don't ever invade
my personal space. Get out of my bag!
No, I'm not.
After the incident went viral, Spirit Airlines tweeted the following message. We are aware of this altercation. Our vendor at DFW has suspended the agent. Spirit Airlines does not tolerate violence of any kind. And we are working with local law enforcement to investigate this matter. Al, what are your thoughts on this incident? And do you think he should have been suspended?
Let me start off by saying no man. And I mean, no man should ever put his hands on a woman the way that this man did. And it was sad. It was sad to watch. Did he deserve to be suspended? I 100% believe that he deserves to be suspended, because as an employee of that airline, you know, when you do those types of jobs, you just got to be made for it. Like, you got to know when to de-escalate, when to separate yourself, and all that great stuff. The two things, though, that really concerned me when I watched the video was, one, why didn't anyone try to defuse this when she was calling him all types of names like faggot? And especially when she pushed him and said he had titties, she called him the N-word, she slapped him. Why didn't anybody step in before it escalated to that? That's number one. Number two is, women, this is a message to all the women out here today. Women, these men today, they are hitting back. All right, they're hitting women back. Please keep your hands to yourself when you're having a conflict with the man, unless you want the heat, because obviously it appears that it's no longer the days where a woman's able to hit a man and he just take it. I mean, these days, these dudes, they going toe to toe.
Yeah, they are. Q, what do you think?
So I definitely think he should have been suspended. I think the as an employee of any corporate situation, your first line of defense should be de-escalate the situation. It would have taken nothing for him to just walk away from that lady and go to the break room and let somebody else deal with her. Okay. Period. Hard stop. I'm cut from a little different cloth than Al. I don't care what's between your legs. You put your hands on me and I'm going to knock the SHIT out of you. Or whatever, okay? Now, had he de-escalated the situation, maybe it wouldn't have gotten to the point where it got physical. But at the point in which she put her hands on him, all bets are off. Y'all women like to go around and use this whole "a man should not hit a woman" as license to abuse men and put your hands on men. And y'all think, oh, because a man ain't supposed to hit a woman, that give y'all license to put y'all hands on people? No, ma'am. I am a human first and a man second. You put your hands on me, I'm knocking your ass flat on your back. Point blank, period.
I think that if you work for Spirit Airlines, I could imagine you see stuff like this a lot. And you really do, like Al said, have to be built for it. Like, customer service for Spirit Airlines, first of all, any airline, but especially Spirit Airline, you're going to get a lot of this. And I wish, if she hit him first, which I think she did, we didn't see the very beginning of it, right? We don't know exactly where this fight actually starts. So we can't really fully speak on it 1,000%. But from what we hear, she did hit him first, right? Mm-hmm. From what we saw from that clip. Homie, if you were to maintain your calmness and just reported this woman the way things are now, she would have been banned from flying. And that's what you should have done. Like, okay, I got you. Cause now you're going to be, you know, you're representing the company. She's not, you know, I wish he would have like, trust me. I agree. Don't put your hands on anybody. It was wrong. And she was way out of pocket, There's no reason why she should have put her hands on him. None at all. But I wish instead of knocking her out or tackling her, I wish he would have just like, all right, lady, and just shut her down. It didn't even have to even get that far for him to do that. Cause now you can just threaten someone and just, you know, some of that language is enough for you to be like placed on the no fly list. You know what I mean? I wish he would have just done that. Cause then she would have been penalized and he'd still have his job.
Cause you know, I don't think else I want to bring up too. I don't know. And I don't feel like it was like this two decades ago in the 90s, but I don't know if it's because of social media or whatever. Now it's this culture of just acting ignorant and cussing out folks in customer service positions.
Mm-hmm.
Who raised y'all? Like, how do, like, say for instance, you're having an issue. Do you honestly think you're going to get the issue resolved in the manner that suits you by cutting up this way? Did y'all, I wish we were doing this story. Did y'all see the one, the man at Burger King threw them two large ass sodas in the car at that man?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I posted on my Instagram soulmates after the show. He got into a conflict with the man at the drive-thru and the man said he didn't get his sodas. And he said, well, if you didn't get your sodas, why you didn't say that the first time you was up here causing ruckus? That man was in the car talking stuff. That boy took them two large-ass sodas. He did a Tom Brady and launched both of them doggone sodas into them doggone cars. And here's the thing y'all don't understand. Just like the one where the girl went and dragged the lady from behind the counter at Family Dollar. And then after she finished getting her behind whooped, she went behind the register and got a gun and shot her.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what y'all got to understand. Those jobs only pay $9 an hour. Those people do not care because you can literally lose a job at Family Dollar and go get hired at Burger King tomorrow with no interview. All right. So they don't care about losing them jobs. Y'all better stop going in public, fussing with them people, stop fussing with people at red lights. They shooting people at road for the road rage. Stop fussing with people in the grocery stores. Woosah, because everybody is crazy and it's because of the COVID vaccine.
Don't say that.
And one last thing before we move on, I wish I did see a lot of the brothers, black men did intervene and kind of rallied around this woman, this white lady or whatever she was. I wish they would have pulled their brother to the side and gotten between when it was going down. I wish there was a way, like, it ain't their business. It's not their job. But I just wish that could have happened. Like, I hate that he lost his job. And I don't know what was said before that got to that level. But, you know, she was definitely out of pocket. And I hope she's on a no-fly list as well. I think she was 1,000% wrong. All right, y'all. Because of the surge of monkeypox cases around the world, officials in Brazil are pleading with people to stop attacking monkeys. Recently in Brazil, monkeys have been physically attacked and some even killed by residents. The assaults have led to the World Health Organization issuing a reminder that despite the virus's name, monkeys should not be blamed for its transmission. Margaret Harris, a spokesperson for the WHO, told reporters, "What people need to know very clearly is the transmission we are seeing is happening between humans to humans." Harris continued, "They should certainly not be attacking animals." Is the world just this stupid or what's happening? Al, what are your thoughts on the story? Attacking monkeys because of monkeypox?
Right. This in Brazil, I don't understand why they're attacking monkeys. Now, if this was in Japan, where those monkeys are attacking babies and kids and the elderly and, you know, doing like killing, you know, that one monkey stole that baby's from that father and threw him off the building and the baby died. I could see you attacking monkeys in Japan. But yeah, this is kind of sad. And all I want to say, I guess only thing I can say is this, is that on Thursday, you know, Biden declared a national health emergency with this monkeypox, and it's real. It's really real, everybody. And we know from this national health emergency that 98% of the monkeypox cases have been reported in, you know, same-sex situations. So we have to take this very, very serious.
All right. Q, what are your thoughts?
I blame the World Health Organization. Y'all are the smartest of the smart, the most elite when it comes to education. And y'all know that most people around the world are stupid. Most people are dumb. Okay. You named it monkeypox. Why you didn't name it envelope pox? Why you didn't name it paper cup pox? You named it monkey pox. And for those people who, you know, are regular stupid people, like most of the world is, they're going to make the association that it came from monkeys. So I don't think that they're the correlation that these people are drawing is far-fetched. You know, most of us are not well-versed in medicine. They shouldn't have never named a disease monkeypox in the first place.
Two things about this. I agree with both of y'all about that. I don't know why they did that. And the messaging and the branding of monkeypox, I don't know if y'all been noticing, but every single picture and victim I've seen of monkeypox has been somebody Black.
Hmm.
Every single person I've seen showing the sores has been on Black skin. And this is why, remember Corona was like this at first, right? And they were like, oh, it's mostly affecting Black people. And I feel like as soon as they said that, they're like, oh, let's go back. Let's open the world back up. No biggie here. Nothing to see here. It seemed like it was like a little less serious because it was mostly affecting us, right? I don't like what they're doing with the monkeypox. The name, first of all, y'all are really trying. If you don't think we are peeping the shade and the tea, we are. And then every image is a Black child or a Black person with the bumps. And then now they're trying to make this a gay thing. And I'm not, it's a skin to skin thing. It is, from what we know so far. I just feel like it's very dangerous what they're doing. And I don't think any of this is by accident. Like y'all said, the World Health Organization, they are brilliant people. They know better. And they know what their words do and how much weight it carries. I think, I hate it. Every time you Google it, it's all Black skin and they need to knock it off. They really do. All right, y'all, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be back with more TGIF after the break. Y'all really tried it. Welcome back to TGIF. Remember, it's Friday, y'all. So at the end of the show, we want to take some questions from the chat. And if there's anything you've always wanted to know, or we can actually ask each other things here, we want to definitely invite y'all. So please leave some questions for us in the chat. All right. Yesterday, Russia confirmed they're negotiating with the United States regarding a possible prisoner swap deal that would secure the freedom of Brittany Griner and former Marine Paul Whelan. Now, the news comes after a Russian foreign minister confirmed last week that Russia is ready to discuss a potential swap. What are your thoughts on the update?
This is huge. I mean, this is huge. This is huge. This is history being made if this is actually negotiated. If we really sit and think about this, this is really huge. The United States of America is trading a Black female WNBA player for one of the most notorious arms dealers and killer in the world. And they are also doing it with a country that we have historically have a hostile relationship with. And not to mention, there are 20 other who are all white prisoners of war over there that she's trumping. This is huge.
Absolutely. Q, what do you think?
My whole thing is, Russia, get it done already. All right? We knew before y'all went to trial and sentencing, we knew what we wanted. Y'all knew what y'all wanted. Cut the bureaucracy. Like, get it done. Make it happen. What is there to discuss? You open up your prison and put him on a plane. We open up our prison, put him on a plane. His ass can't come back to our country no more. They're probably going to ban her from over there. Quiet as it's kept, she probably don't ever want to go back over there. And let's get it done.
You know, people say, oh, there's all these other prisoners that are not Black. And it's a big deal that he's going after this Black, you know, Biden administration wants to get this Black woman out. I have to just say the obvious. He has to. There's no secret that Biden's ratings are really low right now. And he's got to get some of that love from the Black community back. And it's a must. Like, he has to make this happen. He has to make this happen. And I think if he doesn't, it's a huge slap in the face. We're already complaining about some things that we didn't get, although I'm still supporting this presidency, this administration. But he has to. He owes Black women a huge part of him getting elected. Came at the hands of Black women, the campaigning, the voting in crazy numbers. You have to get this done. Like, you know this. All right, y'all. Taking a quick commercial break. We'll be back with more. Remember, leave your questions in the chat. What you want us to talk about at the end.
Oh, boy.
We'll see what we can do. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. Yo, when we said ask us questions, y'all are shady as hell. I'm laughing at some of the questions y'all sent. Y'all really pay attention, that's all I gotta say. Speaking of pay attention, we paying attention to this couple because we're trying to figure out what's going on. Martell Holt and Sheree Whitfield were once again spotted at a park in Atlanta while enjoying a stroll together. Now, Martell's public appearance comes days after a newly launched petition on change.com was launched to remove him from his show, Love and Marriage Huntsville, allegedly after he allegedly made homophobic remarks towards his ex-wife, Melody Holt's family, and due to claims of alleged abusive behavior towards his son. What are your thoughts on this story? Al, are you here for this couple?
Yeah, you know, Sheree is a friend of mine, so I'm going to always support her. But, this is no shade, but it looked almost like this was a photo shoot. Was this a photo shoot? Because in every picture, it was dang on near perfect. It looked like a trailer to like a love movie or something. I don't know. I mean, and they're supposed to be walking the dog in the park, but somehow his shirt came off. And then not to mention the pictures of her, you know what, her butt looked really good. Like it just didn't seem organic to me, but they make a very attractive couple.
They look good together. They're both very much in shape. Q, what do you think about this?
My sentiments kind of echo Al's. The pictures are too perfect. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're the camera phone images. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's giving very what Candy said. Oh, can I get a table? Because we're going to have some people over here taking pictures. That's giving very Freddie O was somewhere in the bushes taking pictures and leaked them to the blogs. I will say this. Martell and Sheree do look good together. And men do act right around women they respect. I definitely don't see Sheree putting up with the stuff that Melody put up with. I definitely don't see Sheree putting up with the stuff that the side girl put up with. And I could definitely see Martell viewing Sheree as such a prize that he probably would act right if him and Sheree legitimately were together due to the respect that he has for her in fear of losing her. But to Al's point, that looked like a Lululemon ad and not two people at the park having a stroll.
They did look staged. They did look like call the press. I mean, that doesn't mean that it's not real though, because people call the press on real relationships all the time because they want it out there. It doesn't mean that it's not real. All right, y'all, let's have a little fun with these questions. First of all, is there anything y'all want to ask each other?
Oh, yeah, Q. Uh-huh. I got a question for Q. Uh-huh. What happened to your car? You're driving a Hyundai now?
Oh, yes, honey. They had to upgrade me, bitch. I'm in a Hyundai Santa Fe, baby. Y'all can't tell me nothing. I'm riding good. I'm riding the best I ever rode. No, you know, the BMW has those low profile tires, and like three times this week when I got in the car, it said tire pressure low. So I got a slow leak, took it to the dealership. They called me back and it was gonna be a couple hours. Then it was like, we got one tire in the computer, but we can't find it. And so they can't get me another tire until Monday. So they put me in a Hyundai Santa Fe, baby.
How do you feel about it? Do you feel like you could drive that again? Like, I know you've crossed over to the other side now.
You want to know what's so funny? I actually miss driving my Civic. I actually enjoy driving my Civic more than I did the BMW. There was just something fun about it. I'm having fun driving to Santa Fe. The BMW just feels like a lot of responsibility when you're driving it.
Those luxury vehicles, I know.
Yeah, it just feels like responsibility. The Civic felt, I felt fancy, free, and footloose. When I'm in the Santa Fe, I'm zooming. I got the music turned up. I'm having a hot girl summer. But in the BMW, I got to be all serious and careful because it feels like responsibility.
All right, let's go to these questions in the chat. Okay, Ashley Basie says, Al, name a secret talent that you have.
Shit. Secret talent. Pass. Let me think about it.
I will say this, you're part horse, because when we were at the Essence Festival, my feet were hurting, so I jumped like a
horse until we got to the hotel. And Ashley, when we were at the Faina party, and he can make it clap. Y'all are
both liars. J. Daniel Luke says, Q, when was the last time you messed with a woman?
The last time I messed with a woman was my ex-girlfriend, 2 years out of college, 23.
Oh, when you were, I thought you had a threesome recently with the one, no?
Oh, well, damn, stay out my business. Those drunken escapades don't count. I mean, I thought he meant like, for real. Okay. So yes, I've had a couple dalliances in some threesome situations. That ain't nothing, but like the last time I was actually like with a woman, us being together, was I was 23 years old.
Al, how about you?
Probably a couple of months. I've done swinger parties and stuff like that. But I mean, seriously, dating a woman. Probably 2012, dating a woman seriously.
Do you miss being married?
I do.
Okay.
I miss marriage. There's an element of marriage, you know, having someone to have your back all the time, like feeling like it's a team, you know, feeling safe. Making someone happy. I love all that type of stuff. I'm into all of that. The commitment, the loyalty, the exclusivity. I liked all those elements of marriage.
We only have 29 seconds left. I see all the questions y'all asked me about KJ, but you know what? We are out of time. I want to thank my
co-host.
See how she do.
She'll never want to tell her business.
I mean, I got to give y'all proper outs. Al Reynolds, Funky Dineva, thank you so much. Great times. Thank you for watching on YouTube. Stay tuned. The house is up next. See y'all next Wednesday. Ask us again next Friday.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.